Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing me with free samples. I don't know about where you live, but here in Columbus, allergy season has started back up again. I feel like I can usually muster through. However, allergies can turn a peaceful night's sleep into a battle of tossing and turning for me. Sleep is something that I highly prioritize, and nasal congestion, sneezing fits, and itchy eyes can disrupt my ability to one, fall asleep, and two, to stay asleep, leaving me fatigued in the morning, which is not great with three kids. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. Like I said, I used to muster through, but as I've gotten older, my allergies have gotten worse. And Claritin D has been a life changer when it comes to my day-to-day. Like I said, sleep is so important to me, and that's usually where I notice my allergies the most, laying down on my back and not being able to breathe. Thank goodness for Claritin D. So are you ready to live as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away, and you can find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter, and you don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Hello, and welcome to the Minimalist Moms Podcast. I'm Diane.
And I'm Megan.
We are two moms trying to make room in our lives for what matters by getting rid of the clutter and living life with purpose. We hope you'll join us on the journey to think more and do with less. If you were to poll parents everywhere, I think most of them would agree that their children's rooms are one of the most difficult places to declutter. Loads of toys on the floor, clothes scattered about, dishes on this and that surface. Sound familiar? In my personal opinion, the bedroom is for relaxing and sleeping. It should be a calm space of escape, not one that bolsters disorder and stress. You'll never be able to completely conquer that pile of prized childhood possessions. I'm looking at you, Rock Collection. But I hope this episode provides some tips with where to start. Hi, Megan.
Hello.
We are back for our first official episode since summer vacation. I guess our other episode was official, but this is like our first tips.
Back into the saddle again.
Our minimalist mom tips for you.
Yep.
Well, do you have a minimalist resource of the week for us?
I do. My resource is an app called Minimalist, and the L is capitalized. So it's Minimalist.
Okay.
And this is a list app that also helps a little bit with productivity because it has a timer that you can set with a different sounds that you can put, so nature sounds or whatever, to help you focus while you're doing whatever you're doing. Then the timer goes off and, you know, anyway. So I'm always on the lookout for a pretty list app. Mm-hmm. I use Wonderlist usually for like grocery shopping and all of those things, but the interface is just so, and I really love a pretty app, and this one is beautiful. So Minimalist.
I love that because I just use the list on my iPhone, so
yeah,
the reminder list,
yeah,
but it's not pretty, so I'll have to check this one
out.
Well, my minimalist moment for you, I mentioned in our last episode how I was in California and my friends are very much into thrifting. So as we were on the Pacific Coast Highway, we turned off, I want to say in Ventura, California, but I stumbled into this little place, and it wasn't called Things Remembered because I know that's a store in the mall, but it was something along those lines, like Things We Remember, remembering things. And I spent about an hour in there walking around while they were thrifting, but I just walked around and a lot of stuff was from probably mid-1900s, I'd say. But I had this moment where I got really sad and I just thought about all this stuff was in someone's house. Like, this was their prized possessions or just possessions they really loved. And now, like, you can't take it with you. So it got really morbid there.
Were you crying? No. Were you sitting in a mid-century modern chair crying?
No, but it just made me really sad. And if there's any reason to minimize, it's that. Like, I don't want all of my stuff to be in these museums of things remembered that people really aren't buying. I mean, I guess they are buying if they're still in business. But you know what I mean. Like, mm-hmm.
no, you can't take it with you. Like, it's just meaningless. At the end of the day, our possessions are meaningless. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't have things that we really love and want to spend money on, but I think just being intentional about what we purchase. So don't allow peer pressure or cultural society pressure to tempt me into buying things that I don't need. So yeah, that's my minimalist moment for you.
Great.
Megan, do you have a rating and review for us?
Yes. First off, thank you so much. This one I wanted to read, and I can't tell you the person who submitted it because it's like get 333-67890.
Oh, wow.
So if you know who you are, but he or she says, I listen to a lot of podcasts, but this is the one I get excited about when a new one comes out. The women strike a great balance. The topics are broadly focused on minimalism, and they make it clear that they have many challenges and aren't out to be the perfect minimalists. I'm glad that comes across, mm-hmm. that we are flawed.
Oh, yes.
I've learned so much through listening to them talk about issues they have or are dealing with. Fantastic and down to earth. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We're really excited to kick off this new series. We've decided that we want to walk you through a minimalist home. We've done tips on different aspects of the home or different categories of clutter, but we've never really walked through each room and talked about the ways that we aspire to be minimalist or tips that we've found along the way in our minimalist journey. So we thought we would start with kids' bedrooms because, let's be real, it's an issue. The struggle is real, mm-hmm. with kids' bedrooms. And when we asked you guys for feedback on what topics that you'd like to cover this season, it was overwhelmingly toys.
Mm-hmm.
And I know kids' rooms aren't necessarily toys, but a lot of times that's a big issue in keeping clutter down, mm-hmm. in kids' rooms. So we are going to talk today about kids' bedrooms and our tips for minimalist decor and clutter reduction.
Great. So I think we should start off just describing the spaces that we have. I know mine's going to be a little bit different. I have a very small room for both Martin and Charlotte. Martin doesn't even sleep in there right now, but it's both a blessing and a curse. I love that it's small, but it's also a curse because I have a baby sleeping in a crib in my room still. When you enter in the room, to the right is a bookshelf, to the left is a dollhouse. She has her little toddler bed, and there's a dresser and a small closet and a chair in the corner. So I originally intended for this to be a nursery where I would go and sit with her, and that's why the chair is in the corner, but I'm a very bad minimalist because I've really never sat in that chair. So it probably should come out. But yeah, everything was very intentional in designing her space. She honestly doesn't, she reads up there and she sleeps up there, but she doesn't really play with her dollhouse much anymore. And the dresser we utilize every day, the closet, not so much, it's more storage, but I'd say it's probably 15 by 10 feet. It's a, mm-hmm. very small little room in our duplex that we own. So I like the small space, but I think that we could probably be utilizing just maybe the walls differently, but, mm-hmm. we can go ahead and talk about that after you talk about your space.
All right. Three rooms. Yeah, we have three kid rooms. We actually had two kid rooms. Well, we've had many evolutions.
Mm-hmm.
We had kids sharing rooms. We've had kids in their own rooms. And we have three kids, six, eight, and 10. So I feel like we've gone through the gamut of transitioning rooms from baby rooms, from nurseries,
mm-hmm.
into little kid rooms and now bigger kid room. So, we've done it all, but currently everybody has their own room and each of them has a dresser. They have their beds and some kind of toy storage. Usually like those IKEA cubby systems.
Very convenient.
Yes. And some things that we do to really utilize the space. And as you mentioned, kids' rooms are usually the smallest in the house. So if any room needs to be conscious of minimalism and clutter it is the kids' rooms. Mm-hmm. So to really maximize the space, we've taken off all the closet doors. Because ours, I think it's a little weird. They open and close like doors. Mm-hmm. They weren't sliding.
Okay.
So it occupied space in the room to have to swing them open. So we just took off the doors. And we, you know, they would shut each other in their closets and that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah.
We were, that was the first thing we did was take all the doors off the closets. And we like the openness.
I like that too.
Yeah. I like to be able to see everything and have them able to access it easily. A lot of times those sliding doors, depending on the mechanism, it's hard for them to open and close them.
Mm-hmm. So they get stuck and come off the hinges.
Exactly. Exactly. So I think visually it also opens up the space. So taking off the closet doors was step one. Like I said, we've been to many iterations of kids' rooms, and what we've found as far as furniture goes is that we've removed all of the extraneous kid furniture. And I'm sure you guys know what I mean. Like the little kid sized chairs, or we had a kid sized picnic table for a long time, kid art easels. What else have we had in there? We've had a train table. We've had little play tents. All these things that would, we thought, okay, these are going to expand imagination and they were really good for them. And it's not that they didn't. However, what it did was obstruct the floor surface for other things that they wanted to do. Mm-hmm. So we found that they just got dusty or not used in general. So we've, over the course of several years, we've just gotten rid of all of that stuff. And overwhelmingly, they're more imaginative in this space if there's less for them to get around. Mm-hmm. So that's been really great. As far as their clothing, like I said, each room has a dresser. And for the boys, we don't even worry about hang up clothes. Like we don't use the bars in their closet at all. They do have a few dress shirts, but I just fold them and put them in the drawer. I mean, if they have a crease, little kids, you, whatever.
Yeah,
it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
So we don't utilize the bars in their closets. We use the closets for the high shelf as toy storage, or maybe ones that we want to rotate through, or just like extra big quilts or things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we like to keep, and for my daughter, we have a lower bar for when she was younger because she still needed a place for her dresses and stuff. So we just made it really accessible for them to be able to dress themselves, their drawers, any whatever current season they're in. I mean, they're all tall enough now that they can reach the top of a dresser, but we just always made sure as they grew that whatever current season were in the bottom drawers so that they could open the drawers themselves and get dressed. And of course we keep a capsule kids wardrobes for them. So they're not having to weed through a bunch of stuff that they don't typically wear, is out of season, or they're not sure how it goes together. So we keep it very simple and accessible with clothing in their rooms.
All right. So now that we've described our spaces, let's talk about actually setting up a new room. So this would be if you just want to go in there and overhaul, or if you are about to have a baby, or if you're about to move. This is just starting from scratch basic. Okay. My basic tip, no matter really what the age, is to send the kids away.
Yes.
I feel like
Amen.
It's so difficult to have them in my space when I'm trying to be intentional with my thought process. I can barely podcast some nights because I'm so distracted just with things going on. So my kids are in the area when I'm trying to be intentional about the choices. They just cause too much commotion, need to go away. Okay, so now that they're away, you need to be intentional, as I keep repeating that word, you need to be intentional before creating the space. So I would say write out your list of purchases for what you want to put in that room. Go through those purchases and see what you could borrow, because we're all about borrowing here. Or possibly just cut off your list something that you don't need. And I feel like people tend to just, we've talked about baby registries before, if we're going back to like the newborn stage, we do not need all of this stuff. So that's why it's really important to be decisive about what we put in children's rooms. And then have a goal for the space. So I know that we've talked about rooms being more for rest and sleep, but some people have their children's, all their toys in their room. And so I would say, what do you want the room to be for your child? Is it a play space? Is it a library? Are you going to have just their books in there? Or is it just a basic room layout?
In our experience, the younger they are, the more it needs to be purely, this is the place we sleep. Mm-hmm. It can be a place for rest as well. Like you said, reading books or...
Charlotte does puzzles in there.
There you go.
Yeah.
Anything quiet. It's got to be a quiet, restful space when they're younger. Because if there are toys in there and you're trying to get them to nap, they're not going to want to nap. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going to want to be up and playing with things or distracted with whatever's in the room. So when they were younger, we absolutely had zero toys or anything that they could reach. I mean, they might have been higher up in storage, but it was definitely just a place for rest and relaxation. As they grew older, the space morphs from rest and relaxation to more their sanctuary, to more the space that they can own as their very own. And that's a gradual process, I would say. My 10-year-old's just getting to the place now where she's really making it her own and has opinions about where she wants things to be. And maybe my boys will never care. I don't know. But they at this point, though my one son, we were getting rid of this old chaise and he was so beside himself. He begged and begged and begged us to put it in his room.
Really?
And at the time we were renovating the basement and they were sharing a room and it wasn't working out, but we saved it for him. Mm-hmm. And so he really wanted that chaise in his room and he loves it. He moves it all around the room and sometimes butts it up against the bed and sleeps across the boat.
That's so funny.
Yeah. Anyway, so they do eventually have opinions and want to create their own space, which I'm totally for. I think you should have a space that is your own. And even if they're sharing a room, having their own sections of that room and things that are just off limits for anyone else, those are just theirs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I knew I was talking to Marty about this last night and I told him this is going to get so much harder as they grow older and they gain their stronger opinions and they accumulate toys and they accumulate books and clothes. It's just, I feel like I'm in this little bubble right now, even just talking to you I do have little ones that I can kind of just dictate what goes in there. And it is just a space for mostly resting and sleeping. Cause yeah, thinking back, I've spent so much time in my room as an adolescent. And I mean, I was playing school in there. So you are like, you have a desk at some point. I guess the room does really morph. It was something that I guess I wasn't really thinking about prepping for this.
But we do the same thing. Like, even now, I still, every 6 months or so, and it's usually, I guess, when the kids are in school, because they're in school full day, I totally clean out their room. Take everything. I mean, I don't take the furniture out, but I clean out under all the surfaces, under the bed, under whatever, and maybe rearrange toys. And they think it's a great treat, obviously, because I've just spent the whole day cleaning. They come in, they're like, yay! They see things they don't remember, they haven't seen before. So yes, I think that's absolutely called for. Every once in a while, you need to step in, even if they're a little older, like my kids are, and help them to shape their space.
Absolutely. Okay, so now where do you want to go with this?
The elephant in the room.
What?
Toys.
Oh, yeah. The elephant in the room is toys.
Yes.
As I said, I have some toys in there, like her dollhouse that she doesn't play with, so it probably needs to come out, but I also like the aesthetic look of the dollhouse in there.
Yeah.
Would she play with it if it weren't in her room? Like, these are questions that I must ask myself. I don't know. Maybe because we play mostly downstairs. That's where we are all day. So I don't know. What do you have to say about toys?
Oh, toys. Since we have all of our kids' toys in their rooms, we have had to navigate that and figure out how to organize it. And it's different with each kid. Obviously, they like different things. What has worked best for us so far is getting some kind of cubby system. Usually it's those IKEA ones that have the bins in them. And I think it helps to kind of think of your kids' room almost as a preschool room is set up to where everything has a bin that's a like toy.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're done playing with that bin, we put them away, or at cleanup time, which for us is bedtime,
mm-hmm.
we put it away. Now, that again changes as they get older. My daughter has, I don't know, I like to call them like imagination stations, where she just sets up these scenarios, and this is a fairy kingdom, and this is, she has a dollhouse as well, and there's these little corners and sections of the room that have stuff all over them, and it drives me crazy, but I can't. She just spent all afternoon creating this kingdom for. I'm not going to tell her she has to put it away.
Mm-hmm.
And she's old enough that it's not like she just left blocks all over the floor. You know, it's a different situation. But anyway, back to the toys. We have them in these cubby systems by type. So there's all balls in one bin, and there's all blocks or bricks or whatever.
Lego.
Cars. Okay. And that kind of a thing
mm-hmm.
Are in separate bins. And that seems to work really well. Legos, whew, is a whole nother thing.
Oh, really?
So everybody has, I feel like, a whole different philosophies on Lego organizations. If you go on Pinterest, oh, goodness.
Really?
Yes.
I guess Lego is a huge thing.
It is a huge thing. Okay. So some, like my nephew, who's 13, he still loves Legos. And has sets that he builds, and they are displayed, and heaven help you if you touch them. You know, that's how they stay.
Yeah.
You know, they're like that. There's no, my 8-year-old, he is more about, like, what can I create with all these bricks I have?
Mm-hmm.
And actually, funny enough, my 6-year-old is more like, let's build it and keep it.
Okay.
So every kid's different, and what works for the longest time, we just had one bucket, and they were just all in there.
Mm-hmm.
And they played the best with that, because they just take out pieces they wanted, create whatever, and then it just had to all go back in the bucket when they were done with it. But now we have so many of them that we decided, actually for their birthday, we went to IKEA again. I feel like this is a commercial for IKEA.
Mm-hmm.
But we went there, and they have smaller than the bigger cubbies. They have drawers, like plastic drawers you can pull in and out. I'm trying to think of the size. I don't know. They're maybe like 18 by 12 by 3, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the system has maybe 10 drawers.
Mm-hmm.
So they've organized them by color.
Oh.
And then there's a bin for the guys and special stuff. And then we have a bin for all the booklets, the instruction booklets.
Mm-hmm.
And that's worked really well because they can keep whatever they're working on the top and then pull from wherever for whatever their creation will be. So that was a new thing we instituted now that they're older, and that's a value to them to have it so they can find the little piece that they want to find. But everybody has a new Lego organization system of their own.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I forgot how big Lego is. We're not to that stage yet.
Mm-hmm.
I keep thinking, as you're speaking about these different rooms, we will be moving at some point, and our kids will have their own rooms. And if we have another boy or girl, they'll sleep in the same room. We'll do bunk beds. But right now, I'm just thinking there are people that have such a small, tiny house that have two kids in one room sharing that space. And I'm just trying to visualize how that would work. I don't know. I'm like, can I make this work?
Yeah.
Because it's not the most, I wouldn't say it's the most, my bedroom right now with Martin's crib in there, and just, it's not the most aesthetically pleasing situation, but it's inexpensive, and it's just what we have to do right now.
Yeah.
So.
And I think with smaller kid rooms, you really have to utilize, number one, the closet. So having a separate, if we had much smaller rooms, or when they were in the same room, we put the dressers in the closet.
Oh, that's
so
smart.
Then, yeah, you save the space in the room, the floor space.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have, especially the sliding doors or doors on it, it's much more visually appealing that way. Or I know books. How do you guys do books? Because that can be a big clutter.
So I'm the book queen. I don't care. She does have a bookshelf with two shelves on it. I think it's from Target or something. It's the basic standard bookshelf that they sell at Target. But I know that I'm probably at the point where I need to start rotating some of the baby books out, but then I have Martin to think of. I've been putting all the baby books in the bottom shelf, pretty much what she does when she's in her room, if she's just resting as opposed to having a nap. And then you said how you took off all your closet doors. Ours are the kind that open, mm-hmm. but we wouldn't be able to fit even her little dresser in there mm-hmm. because it's like a coat closet. Mm-hmm. It's like a hallway closet that her closet is. So yeah, books, I just have them on the shelf. I know some people put them on the wall. I've seen that you can get shelves.
Yeah, I was going to say that. That's a great idea.
Up and down, which was one of my tips for you guys, is to utilize space in the air. So meaning just floor to ceiling. I love seeing shelves that are just like all around the room, the top of the room. I mean, mm-hmm. they won't be able to access those, but maybe some of those Lego displays after they're done can go up there on like a higher shelf. And that way it's not down on the desk taking up space there. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, because we still have a couple book shelves, but they mm-hmm. drive me crazy. And this is one of the things I've been meaning to do, is just to get, because each of them are at a different reading level at different times. Mm-hmm. So just getting the books that are in their reading level in a bin, you know, just mm-hmm. a basket or a bin or something they can keep by their bed, and not have all these books and all these surfaces, because they don't stay, even, and when they're little, you know, this, the toddlers, like if you have a shelf full of books, they just knock them over mm-hmm. and it creates more clutter. So yeah, so that's either the shelves, the vertical shelves that almost look like spice racks.
Yeah.
How I would describe them, mm-hmm. That you can curate a few books that they can look at. Mm-hmm. I think that's a great idea, or just having a bin, small one, and rotating mm-hmm. them out is really helpful.
Rotating out weekly, so you're not reading mm-hmm. the same thing month after month, which Charlotte's in like a fairy tale stage, so I'm reading Rapunzel like aww. Just over and over, the Three Little Bears over and over, which yeah. I love those stories.
Yeah. Fun, I have one kid who we read, he'd get on one book. Like, he wanted that book read for 6 months to a year. We would read I have memorized Boom Chicka Boom. And there was another one about a train going to sleep. And I have all these books memorized because he wanted the same one over and over. So we didn't even need a bin. We just won one book. That was it.
And no, it's probably different with every kid. Every, like, boy, girl can be different. So, mm-hmm. yeah, I think, because I was going to ask, where are all their books right now?
Yeah, currently we have too many. We have a huge, in one of the boys' rooms, we have several of the cubbies that are filled with books.
Okay.
And then several cubbies in the other one, and then a bookshelf in all his room. There's just too many, and they're not all, some of them are way past, you know, the reading levels aren't where they're just not going to read them. Mm-hmm. They're just gathering dust currently. So that is one thing we need to work on. Another thing I wanted to say for older kids, one of my tips is having a place where they can have their sentimental items mm-hmm. or a lot of times like things like birthday cards and letters, paper things, little souvenirs, having just kind of that, starting a habit of having a memory box, mm-hmm. a small one that they want to look at and feel and touch and look, but having just in that place and add to mm-hmm. and all of that, and saying this is your container for these type of things, or you could make it visual, as mm-hmm. you said, and have a cork board mm-hmm. up in their room, or just maybe an area where they could display it. I know my kids love painter's tape because we've done a lot of home projects, like the frog tape or the green tape, or I think there's blue tape too, but and it doesn't hurt the paint on the wall.
That's really nice.
So we just let them go to town. They can put whatever they want on their own walls and decorate their own space with the painter's tape.
Did you, as a child, put, like, Jonathan Taylor Thomas?
I was not a JTT fan. I did have NKOTB, though.
Oh.
I had new kids.
Okay.
And then I can't remember who I had later. I think that might have ended
I was Leo. Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, yeah.
Titanic. Oh, I was 10 years old when that came out.
I didn't have the poster, but I didn't know that movie.
He was like my dreamboat. Yeah. But all that to say, I used to put it on my wall. My parents used to yell at me because I'd put thumbtacks in the wall.
Oh.
All over the wall. We haven't gotten
to like the Teen Bop magazine phase.
What would that be now? I don't know if that's a thing anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay. We'll see. Okay, tell us, moms of teenage girls, what do they put on their walls now? Is it
Liam Hemsworth?
Do they do the posters? I feel like that was an 80s, 90s thing. I don't know. We'll see. Yeah. Let us know, guys.
Well, we also want to hear your thoughts about everything we've just discussed. How are you utilizing your children's room space? We want to know. So we invite you to keep the conversation going by visiting our website, minimalistmomspodcast.com. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Minimalist Moms Podcast. If you'd like to receive our show notes via email, text the word minimalist to 444-999. Thank you for joining up on this journey. We wish you a lovely week as you think more and do with less.